You may remember back in February when Bonnie Fisher was here, well, I had a sermon that gave the history of some of our favorite hymns. Well, today we're going to have a sermon that talks about a specific genre of hymns. And the reason for this, and I'm going to do it again later in the year because you seem to respond so well to the first one in February. But one of the reasons to do this is that now I know that most of the time your very favorite part of the worship service is the sermon, right? Just say yes. But aren't there times when you leave and some piece of music just about brought you to tears? Or helped you remember a time in the past? Music speaks our emotions. That's why the Psalms are so powerful, because they were songs first. We've lost the music now, but they were songs. And those heart notes that songs touch us more deeply than spoken words and intellectual thoughts can do. And it has always been so. Hear the words of the psalmist who talks about the songs of praise. In Psalm 138, it says, I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. May all the kings of the earth praise you, O Lord. A wonderful song of praise, right? But the one right before it, Psalm 137, talks about a different time and a different response to singing God's songs. It refers to a time when the Hebrew people were in captivity, when they were enslaved. And so the psalmist at that time wrote, by the rivers of Babylon we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars we hung our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not consider Jerusalem my highest joy. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? Was a question echoed by African Americans in the 1700s and the 1800s. They created a vibrant culture on this continent. Slaves here were not permitted to speak while working in the fields, but they were permitted to sing and chant in order to impose a rhythm on their work. Many of us think of spirituals as being very bright and lively and quick, but no, they were slow and methodical because they accompanied the swaying of a scythe or the planting of seeds. And so when we hear them the way they were originally sung, spirituals are often very slow and powerful. There were two forms of music that were generated in those days. Two distinctive slave musical forms. The spiritual, and we have many of those, and we love many of those. And then there was something called a field holler. And that was chanted music that usually was the leader calling out and folks answering. These spirituals were developed as an expression of Christian faith and belief. Because these folks were illiterate, I'll say that again, illiterate, and they had little time to learn the stories of the Bible, many songs told the Bible stories in ways that hearers could learn and remember. Into the 19th century, however, some of the spirituals took on a different layer of significance, another layer of meaning, as they became maps to freedom. And it's on purpose that we're dedicating quilts today, because there were a couple different ways that slaves learned about the Underground Railroad. If you've ever been to a quilt display that talked about the history, there were quilts that quilted the path north. And they could look at those quilts and figure out which turn to make and when to go and how to go. But there were also songs that told them how. Plantation owners were aware of the Underground Railroad, and so these songs were coded with language that they would not understand, but the slaves understood. Songs like Steal Away to Jesus, you know that one? Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, Wade in the Water, and The Gospel Train. They were all songs with hidden messages, not only about having faith in God, but having hidden messages. Spirituals led to the development of blues and bluegrass, jazz, and gospel music as well. And there are different terms that are used for it: Negro spiritual, Black spiritual, African American spiritual, Jubilee, African American folk songs. They all mean the same thing. And these songs provided comfort and ease the boredom of daily tasks, and they sung them in a strange land to the glory of God. Amazing, isn't it? That people so filled with sorrow could invent songs that were vibrant and powerful and that still move us today. Sometimes they were a means of releasing pent-up emotions and expressing their sorrow and their yearning for freedom. Sometimes when a song like Steal Away or Swing Low, Sweet Chariot was sung unexpectedly in a dusty field or softly in the dark of night, it signaled that the coast was clear and the time to escape had come. The River Jordan sometimes was the Ohio River, or the Mississippi, or another body of water that had to be crossed on the journey to freedom. Leaving dry land and taking to the water was a common strategy to throw off bloodhounds. Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. The chariot was the Underground Railroad. Now, this term spiritual comes straight out of the King James Bible translation of Ephesians 5:19, which says, "Speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." In Africa, music had been central to people's lives. Music making celebrated important life events, as it still does today for us. And as Africanized Christianity took hold, spirituals expressed the community's new faith, as well as its sorrows and its hopes. Many of the spirituals are known as sorrow songs, and they are intense, slow, and melancholy. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. That's as melancholy as it gets, isn't it? Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. These describe struggles and identify with the suffering of Jesus. Others are much more joyful. Jubilees or camp meeting songs like Rock of My Soul in the Bosom of Abraham celebrate God's presence, God's triumph, God's delivery. And in the 20th century, these songs, after slaves were freed, they took on different meaning and purpose. They started to have a presence in concert halls. Jesse Norman, the opera singer, sings them in her concerts. And in the 20th century, the slow, methodic melodies began to speed up as jazz incorporated the words. And there's a genre that I didn't know existed called the white spiritual. It's not as easily recognized as the African-American spiritual, the Negro spiritual, but it encompasses the same folk hymn, religious ballad, and camp meeting kind of style. I'll Fly Away is one of those. Bernice and I are going to share some of these with you. Swing Low, Sweet Chariot was written probably in 1825. The words remind us of the Jordan River and the prophet Elijah being taken to heaven by a chariot. You find that in the book of 2 Kings, the second chapter. If a slave heard this song, he'd know he had to be ready to escape, that a band of angels were coming to take him to freedom. And the Underground Railroad, the Sweet Chariot, was coming south, swinging low, to take the slave to the north or freedom, to carry him home. This was one of Harriet Tubman's favorite songs, and she sang it to lead people on the Freedom Trail. As of 2011, it's the official gospel song of the state of Oklahoma. Maybe somebody will do the research to find out if Ohio has an official state gospel song. I don't know. It's been in 12 movies performed by singers as varied as Peggy Lee, Paul Robeson, Bing Crosby, Gomez Adams, and the Marx Brothers. You know it, so you get to sing it along with us.